We open with hymn number 81. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. and I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Thy testimonies are very sure. Holiness becometh thine house. Thy throne is established of old. Thou art from everlasting. The Lord reigneth. He is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. O Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully direct our ways that we may walk in thy law and be made to abound in good works through thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this Sunday after Christmas is found in the 63rd chapter of Isaiah, the 7th through the 16th verse. I will mention the loving kindnesses of the Lord and the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has bestowed on us, and the great goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them according to his mercies, according to the multitude of his loving kindnesses. For he said, surely they are my people, children who will not lie. So he became their Savior. In all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them, and he bore them and carried them all the days of old. But they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. So he turned himself against them as an enemy, and he fought against them. Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he who put his Holy Spirit within them, who led them by the right hand of Moses, with his glorious arm dividing the water before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the deep as a horse in the wilderness, that they might not stumble? As a beast goes down into the valley, and the Spirit of the Lord causes him to rest, so you lead your people to make yourself a glorious name. Look down from heaven and see from your habitation, holy and glorious. Where are your zeal and your strength, the yearning of your heart and your mercies toward me? Are they restrained? Doubtless you are our Father. Though Abraham was ignorant of us and Israel does not acknowledge us, you, O Lord, are our Father. Our Redeemer from everlasting is your name. Here ends the Old Testament lesson. The epistle is found in the fourth chapter of Galatians, the first through the seventh verse. Now I say that the heir, so long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Here ends the epistle lesson. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. The Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength wherewith he hath girded himself. Hallelujah. Gospel is found in the second chapter of Luke, the 33rd through the 40th verse.
Glory to thee, O Lord.
And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign that will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord and spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Israel. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here ends the gospel. We confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn 99. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our text today is found in the second chapter of Luke, the 33rd through the 40th verse. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Now there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity, And this woman was a widow of about 84 years, who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord, and spoke of him to all who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear redeemed of the Lord, little Lutheran churches like ours often feel like very lonely places. We look at the Christian world as a whole, and we see so few places where the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ are not only spoken of on occasion, but actively announced and applied to all sinners, both to new Christians and to the most mature in the faith. Even in the Lutheran Church, we see little such preaching in our day. And this is very discouraging, because the proper preaching of Christ is not only Lutheran, but it is apostolic, the faith given to the Church by Jesus himself, and indeed confessed in every age of the world. It's easy to imagine that the Christian faith, as our fathers knew it, might die out someday, that the pure word and sacraments of Christ will no longer be preached. For that reason, it's good for us to see how it was in the days when Jesus was born. Where was the church to be found? Where was the pure teaching and the proclamation of the coming of Christ, as the Old Testament prophets foretold him? We see the answer in our lesson. When Jesus came, there were people who were still looking for redemption in Jerusalem, but not many of them. The need for redemption implied that the greatest problem of Israel was not the Roman Empire, which ruled over them. It was not the liberal Sadducees who controlled the temple and the ruling council. It was not the social problem of the youth who ran off to join the Roman army, or the spread of leprosy, or oppressive tax laws, or the number of beggars on the streets. Redemption spoke to the sin of every man, woman, and child, a sin which condemned them all to eternal death, a sin so great that none but a divine Savior could pay the costly ransom that was required to appease the wrath of God. For it is really ransom that the word redemption means. Who looked for this redemption? We know some of their names: Zechariah, Elizabeth, Mary, Joseph, John, Simeon, and Anna. And we know there were a handful of others, but they were vastly outnumbered by the politically and socially minded Jews. But God always preserves a little flock for himself, even when all faith seems to have fled. And so the reception of Jesus on the eighth day after his birth, when he was presented in the temple, was not grand or festive. It was certainly heartfelt, spirit-filled, and contemplative. And though the choirs of Israel did not hail the Messiah, an old man, Simeon, sang the wonderful words of the Nunc Dimittis, which we sing every divine service: "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and the glory of your people, Israel." These are incredible words to be spoken when Jesus was but a babe, and when he was unknown to the nation he came to save. They are especially precious because they announce that Jesus is the Savior of the entire world, and not only of Israel. And so they do not speak of political salvation, but of the redemption of men.
And now as we come to the beginning of our text, we hear that Mary and Joseph were marveling at the words which Simeon spoke. But lest these words be misunderstood, Simeon continues to speak to Mary by the Spirit of God. And he tells her that not all would receive this glorious child as God's salvation. Some would fall. In fact, many would fall, even as others are raised. Those who rise are the ones who will gladly receive this child, Christ. They are all those who would come to him for the forgiveness of their sins, who, like Simeon, would look to him as their Redeemer. We see two such people in our lesson, Simeon and Anna. But those who fall are all they who come to Jesus expecting a different Savior. And because they do not find their imagined Savior in Jesus, they fall into stubborn and persistent unbelief. And they oppose the Lord's Son. And they set themselves against God and turn against His Word and His Spirit. A great fall indeed. Simeon then calls Jesus a sign that would be spoken against. This word sign is the same word as miracle. Jesus' life would be a sign, a miracle designed by God to plainly demonstrate that he is the fulfillment of every promise which God made to their fathers. By his perfect life, by his miracles, by his suffering and death, and by his resurrection, Jesus would show that God had ransomed men from sin, death, and hell by these clear signs, but these clear signs would be opposed by some. We see these words fulfilled even before Jesus was crucified, when his enemies, the Pharisees and Sanhedrin, conspired together to put Jesus to death because he had, by their own admission, done the remarkable miracle of raising Lazarus from the dead. And consider their reaction to the greatest sign of all. When Jesus rose from the dead, they even paid men, soldiers, to lie and began to spread the story that his disciples stole the body by night. And consider how in our day all the miracles of Jesus, everything by which he identifies himself as Christ, including the resurrection from the dead, are denied by scoffers to this day. They still continue to speak against this sign. And Simeon adds a special word for Mary. In particular for her, because speaking by the Spirit of God, he already knew that Joseph would not be there to see these words fulfilled, that a sword would pierce through your own soul also. And these words were fulfilled at the foot of the cross, when she who kept all these things and pondered them in her heart remained with her son until the very bitter end as his most faithful disciple, so that she was there when he made his soul a ransom for sin and saw his body torn and pierced and broken. Therefore, her joy at becoming the mother of the Lord was joined to a note of sadness. And Simeon speaks of it briefly now, so that she would not lose faith when the time came to see the cost of the world's redemption, nor to think that the manner in which Jesus would ransom the world from sin would be by a path of glory. One other true Israelite was there on that day, Anna, who was a prophetess. She was of great age. If, as was likely, she was married near the age of 15, by this time she must have been 106, an almost unheard of age in those days. She must have been a remarkable woman, first because of her extraordinary life and that she spent every waking hour in the temple and was often in fasting and prayer. But she is especially notable for her faith, for she not only gave thanks to God for the child Jesus, but she spoke specifically of him to those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. That word redemption has so much meaning that is lost on this generation. Israel were not slaves of Rome, There was nothing to redeem them from if their only trouble was political or military. Anna had none of the popular delusions of the day concerning what Christ would do when he came. The content of her prophesying was the gospel itself. For here was an Israelite who understood that the great work of Christ would be to pay a ransom for sin. And that she herself looked for that ransom is all that we need to know of her, to say that her fastings and prayers were neither for show nor intending to earn God's favor, but were the evidence of her sincere and earnest desire to have Christ come, for him to come and pay the ransom for sin, both her own sins and those of all men. And so it is not surprising that today we find ourselves in much the same situation. Now that Christ has come and has clearly revealed his ransom for the sins of the world, he is still spoken against. Some dash themselves against him and fall, while others gladly hear his gospel and are raised up. And throughout it all, among the masses of things that are called church, God has preserved his handful, his little flock who now find all of his promises kept in Jesus, and who day after day declare and offer what God has done to all who look for redemption on the earth. And so we do not need to be afraid of being small, or think that because we are not a large church that somehow we've done something wrong, or we're being unfaithful, or do not have the right programs to draw people into the kingdom. For God does not call people in that way. He calls them through the simple proclamation of his redemption in Christ Jesus. It is how the first disciples were made, how the first Christian congregation was founded at Jerusalem, and it is how God has saved men in every generation from Adam until now. You see, God does not leave anything undone among his people, even when they are but a little remnant. He accomplishes his word and promise if there are as few as two or three who gather together in his name. Look at what God was doing from the day of Jesus' birth onward into his life. No great work was evident in Israel as Jesus was circumcised, as the ransom of the firstborn was paid in the form of two turtle doves, when his mother Mary's purification was completed, and indeed when they had done all things which the law of the Lord required. Even in obscurity, the salvation of the whole world was being accomplished by the obedience of Jesus to every ordinance of God. Even his progress as a child who grew and learned, and by the age of 12 had come to the knowledge of his own identity and destiny, this too was our redemption at work, not in the grand and the glorious works that were before the eyes of all men, but in the simple and the small. And so do not be discouraged if your own church or even the total number of faithful Christians on the earth seems ever so small. For God will not be deterred in his purpose, and he will complete the work of calling to repentance all whom he has appointed to eternal life in his Son, Jesus Christ. Some will fall at the word of Jesus, some will be raised up, some will speak against the clear truths of redemption which Jesus has revealed by his life, death, and resurrection. But so also God will speak to you and for you by this same sign of his Son, by the miracle of his birth, by his extraordinary sinless life, and by his innocent suffering and death. By this sign, he declares to you that your redemption is complete. May God grant that you are always glad to be found among the little flock which gives all glory to God for the salvation of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord God, Father in heaven, who in the fullness of time did send forth thy Son to be the light of the world, and to gather for thee out of all the kindreds of the earth a redeemed people, we give thee thanksgiving and hallow thy name that thou hast so graciously provided for us and for our salvation. We thank thee that through faith in thy Son, Jesus Christ, we have received the adoption of sons, that we may call thee in spirit and in truth, Abba, Father. We beseech thee, dear Father, to show us thy mercy, deliver us from all evil, and rescue us from the due reward of our sins. Grasp us with thy fatherly hand and lead us from this fevered world to the green pastures and still waters of thy word. Bestow on us a true faith and a holy love, that the child whom thou didst send for the great testing of men may be set for our rising rather than our falling. Heavenly Father, we implore thee to let thy grace rest upon us, that we may grow strong in the Spirit and be filled with wisdom, that we may do that which finds favor in thy sight. Let the brightness of thy glory shine upon all who need thine almighty aid. Illuminate hearts filled with darkness and homes overshadowed with sorrow or suffering. Give the light of truth to all in authority, in our own land and elsewhere, and fill all our schools with thy divine light, that all strife, superstition, and ignorance may be banished. Establish the reign of Christ over the nations of the earth. Visit every land with thy mercies, that thy saving truth may be proclaimed to all the lost sons of mankind. Bring them to the obedience of that holy child whom thou didst send for the redemption of the world, even thy Son Jesus, the Word made flesh. Let his word and doctrine, his birth and ministry, his death and resurrection be that light of divine truth which shall brighten every land. For our sick, our wounded, our hurt, our troubled, our fallen, and our absent fellow believers, we pray, grant unto them whatever they may need, soundness of body, strength of faith, or security of hope, and grant them all in Christ assurance of salvation. Hear us, O Father, in these our petitions, and grant and direct and govern our hearts that we may be preserved in the one holy Christian faith unto everlasting life. Amen. We sing hymn 93. Thank you. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God. For in the mystery of the Word made flesh, thou hast given us a new revelation of thy glory, that seeing thee in the person of thy Son, we may be drawn to the love of those things which are not seen. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Lord Jesus Christ, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Away.
take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, given unto death for all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of all your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis. Give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we beseech thee that of thy mercy thou wouldst strengthen us through the same in faith towards thee and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end.
Amen.
We sing hymn 45. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.
Morning.